Let's take our Bibles together to the book of Proverbs. We're in chapter 26. Hopefully we'll complete this chapter together tonight and just about every verse is about our tongues. And isn't God a practical God? He deals with every problem that we have. Proverbs 26, we'll start reading verse 22. The Bible says the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips, and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart, whose hatred is covered by deceit. His wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein. And he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. The first thing we see here tonight is in verse number 22, and that's tale-bearing lips. The words of a tale-bearer. Now, this verse is quoted, or repeated really. This is the repetition of it from chapter 18 and verse 8. He said the same thing there in that verse. So when God repeats himself, it must be an important thing to take note of. And the talebearer, we were introduced to him again not long ago in verse number 20. Last time we were together, it said, where no wood is there, the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. So a talebearer is somebody that runs their mouth enough, they create strife. And what does a talebearer do? Look at chapter 20 of Proverbs. Proverbs 20 and verse 19. I don't want to be a talebearer. I want to be a truth bearer. And by the way, a talebearer is not somebody that's telling the truth. A talebearer is somebody that's telling things that aren't so. You know, we have this little phrase, tattletale. Well, that would be all right if it's a tale. You shouldn't tattle tales. But it's all right to tattle truths. I may have lost you there. Do you remember Joseph? You know, all of his brothers hated his guts because they thought he was a tattle teller. But he wasn't telling any tales. The Bible said that Joseph gave his father the evil report of his brothers. Joseph just told his dad what his brothers were really doing. And of course, they hated him for that. And of course, we hate when anybody tells on us. But if it's the truth, then it's our fault. Amen. We ought to get right. We ought not have any cause to get upset if somebody tells the truth about something bad we've done. It's our fault. We shouldn't have done the bad. We shouldn't have done the wrong. And so when he's talking about a talebearer, he's not talking about somebody that's... Now, you know, a brother or sister, you've seen this, you know, with kids. The kid brother wants to tell on the other brother, even if it's true, not because he wants to help the brother, because he wants to get him in trouble. Well, now that's a bigger heart problem. If somebody's just trying to get somebody in trouble. But I think Joseph was really concerned about his brothers and seeing their behavior, somebody need to be. Dad didn't really know how wicked his sons were. Dad didn't know how wicked his sons were. And so Joseph was trying to tell him and inform him of that. But I don't think Joseph was doing that to hurt them. I don't think his motive was malicious. So there could be said something like that. But In Proverbs chapter 20, what does a talebearer do? Verse 19, Proverbs 20, 19. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Also in chapter 11 of Proverbs, chapter 11, verse 13, he says the same thing. A talebearer revealeth secrets. Now someone would say, well, why are you telling secrets? Well, I can understand that, but you know there are some things that aren't for public consumption. There are some things that are told that are not to be repeated. My gracious alive. As a pastor, I've been told all sorts of things that if I started telling them. And it's not so much that they're a secret in the sense that something is being covered up or hidden. They're just private matters that don't need to be told to other people. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? A talebearer, he finds some kind of news. And whether it's a private matter or not, he gets a kick out of telling the story about it. And that's also what a talebearer does. So a talebearer tells, of course, things that are in truth. But he also tells things that are secrets, that aren't anybody else's business to know. I would say social media is the place for tales. In the past, it used to be the phone, the telephone. You know, they get on the phone. But we moved past that. When I was a boy, if you wanted to find a tale, you went through the checkout lane of the grocery store and it said National Enquirer. Maybe it still does. I don't know. But there's all your tales. I remember as a little boy, I was gullible, but I didn't believe that stuff. But you'd be surprised how many people believe tales. And then you would be surprised how many people repeat the tales. There are no truth to any of that, no proof, no witnesses, but let's just tell a tale. And if you repeat a tale often enough, people start believing it. But you tell the truth often enough and people still doubt it. It just shows human nature's bad. Talebearers. I can't talk about tales without talking about global warming. That's a big tale. That's a fairy tale. They've repeated it, repeated, but it's still a tale. It's fake. It's false. And if you believe the Bible, you've got to believe it's false because God says it is not true. Isn't that a good thing to put on the internet? God says it's not true. He does. But we have a world that wants to censor the truth and spread the tale. The world doesn't care how many tales you tell. They'll embellish that. But if anybody wants to tell the truth about something, do you know you get censored for questioning global warming? You may even lose your Twitter account. Maybe not in 6 months. But you're going to lose your Twitter account or your Facebook account. Of course, I don't have to worry about any of that. Evolution's tales. You know, socialistic tales, gender tales. Oh, that's just a bunch of tales. And anybody wants to stand up and tell the truth about it, you're the one that gets. Because we live in a tale-bearing society. The Bible says in our text, and it's not a laughing matter, it's serious. He said in Proverbs 26:22, the words of a tale-bearer are as wounds. It hurts people. When people believe things that aren't true, or when secrets or private things are told to other people that are not their business, it hurts people. It wounds people. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. They hurt people deeply. So stop the next time you want to say, well, you know what I heard? Might want to back up on that. Because somebody might get hurt. Tale-bearing lips. Well, number two, in verse 23, he says in verse 23, burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. Burning lips. I really think all the description of these things in this text are all burning lips. But I started thinking about that. What kind of burning lips is he talking about? As you read the context, look at verse 24. He that hateth. Do you see that? Look at verse 26. Whose hatred. Do you see that? Verse number 28. A lying tongue hateth. I think these burning lips are burning with hatred and anger. You know, if you're mad or angry, or if you hate an individual or something like that, you might want to check what's coming out of your lips. Now, I will check that to say this. There are some things that we need to hate. I noticed, can't help but notice in today's society. I noticed when they're talking about the gentleman that is talking about taking over Twitter, and immediately they said, well, you know, because he wants to do free speech and so people can have free speech. And so the whole world, I mean across the ocean, the whole world is saying, yes, but we can't have hate speech. But you know what? It depends on who's doing the hating. There's plenty of hate speech on Twitter. It's just against people that disagree with their position. And I'll go on record. I don't hate anybody. I'm not out for violence against anybody. But there are things I hate. Does hate speech mean that we can't post speech that we hate pedophilia? Do you know that that's probably the next thing that they're going to say is okay? They're already working on some of that in Europe. I'm being honest with you. So, look, there are a lot of things you're supposed to hate. I hate murder. I hate rape. And yes, I hate homosexuality. So, to hate something that's wicked, but you see, look, liberals hate conservatives. They hate Bible believers. They hate the Bible. And they can say that. But you can't say what you hate if it's them, you see. But when I look at the Bible here and he's talking about burning lips, he's talking about somebody that's so full of anger and hate that it's spouting out their mouth. We're not talking about hating sin or hating unrighteousness or the things that the devil's doing in our world. We're talking about having hatred toward people. And that's not a Christian function. And so if that's coming out of my mouth constantly, then I need to check my lips. They're on fire, but they're not on fire for God. They're on fire with my own anger. And I'll put a little point right there with you as a parent. If you're raising kids or ever hope to raise kids, don't you dare try to correct your children out of control. What do you think that's going to produce in their lives? They're going to be out of control. You ought to be the calmest, coolest, collective individual, especially when you are administering discipline to a child. And, of course, the world don't believe that. They think everybody believes in discipline a child are just out of control. And that's not true. But there are some people that are. And if you're that way, just forget the discipline. You're going to do more harm than good. Burning lips. Well, I thought about that. That's the context, anger and hatred. And when people get mad at each other, it just comes out their lips. That's burning lips. It's hurtful. I thought about burning with, sometimes when they talk about burning, they talk about love that they have. And there's something about false love or fake love that also can present zeal and zealousness. I think of Absalom. Absalom used burning lips to woo the men. Oh, if I could just, I would take care of you men and I would help you men. And he had wickedness in his heart. You see, the Bible says burning lips and a wicked heart. He had a wicked heart. That's why he was saying, that's why he's trying to win over the people that he was doing. And then when I think of burning lips, I think of James chapter 3, because I think that really sums up the matter of burning lips when he says in James 3 about our tongues. And he says it's not only kindles a fire in James 3, 5, but he says in James 3, 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. I'd say that's pretty much burning lips. there is more hell in your tongue than there is downtown Huntsville. God didn't say that the city was set on fire of hell. He said your tongue is set on fire of hell. Our tongues aren't saved. Our tongues are full of iniquity. It's a fire. And so God warns us about that fire. Stuff catches on fire, man, it gets out of control awful fast. And that's why we're probably never more spiritual when we control our tongues, because we're trying to control that hell that's in that member of mine. If you don't know you've got some hell in some of your members, you don't know yourself very well. Because those members, if they're not yielded to God, they'll manifest the burning iniquity of hell every time, because the wickedness of our hearts, you know, the wickedness of our hearts is a given. The Bible tells us our heart's desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things. And so that tongue can just start manifesting the wickedness that's in our heart. That's why he says there in Proverbs chapter 26, he says in our verse, burning lips and a wicked heart. Of course, we need to let God cleanse our hearts and wash our hearts. And we need to plead the blood over the wickedness that's there. And I even asked God. I had somebody text me this week and asked me, how did you know whether God's chastening you or the devil's on your back? I said, look, the first thing I do, I just try to confess everything I know. But then I go to God, because there may be some wickedness in me I don't know. As David said, search me, O God, know my heart. That is an inference. He doesn't know his heart. And try me and see. You see if there be a wicked way in me. And I'd say if we ask God, He'll show us that. If there's something He's chastening us about, He'll reveal it to us if we have that open, sincere heart. We want to get that right. So He talks about burning lips and a wicked heart. We need to continue to have our hearts clean, so our tongues will not be used for burning a fire, but they'll be used for the glory of God and for the dissemination of the truth and for the work of the gospel, and that they'd be filled with kindness, yes, seasoned with salt, but be the words, the gracious words that God wants us to give. Burning lips and a wicked heart. Now, this is a different phrase in verse number 23. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. Now, a potsherd, that's just like a earthen pot, a clay vessel or something like that. And he said, those burning lips on the outside, it's like a vessel that's clay, but it's overlaid with silver. But that silver is dross. It's not pure. It's not right. It's not. It's like gold overlay. You know what gold overlay? It's nothing. It's not even worth anything. You know they eat gold today. You know, they make little gold things and they put it on desserts and stuff and they eat it. How can they do that? Well, it can't be worth very much, because it's so thin you can blow through it. It's not, there is no substance to the gold. It's just gold plated, they call that, to hide the stuff that's underneath sometimes. And the Bible says that sometimes our lips can be that way. They can be silver on the outside, but when you get a closer look, you go down deeper, there's another motive underneath what those lips are saying, because the Word of God tells us about silver. He said in Proverbs 10 and verse number 20, the tongue of the just is as choice silver. That's expensive silver. That's high quality silver, not the dross that you would put over the top of something to make it look pretty. But yet underneath, it's just earth. And that leads us into these next kind of lips we're going to talk about. Verse 24. Proverbs 26, 24. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips. You know what that word dissemble means. You know, you remember Barnabas was carried away with the dissimulation of Peter. That's a hypocrisy thing. You look one way, but then you change, and it's not something real in your life. Depending on who you're around, you're a different person. That's what was happening with Peter there. And so the Bible says, he that hateth dissembleth with his lips, and layeth up deceit within him. Keep reading. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart, whose hatred is covered by, remember that little picture of the potsherd covered with that silver dross, whose hatred is covered by deceit. His wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. So he's talking about dissembling lips or deceitful lips. They're pretending to be a friend, or they're pretending to say something to gain the opportunity to have an advantage later. This happens all the time with people. It shouldn't happen with Christian people. We ought to say what we mean and mean what we say and be genuine, be real. I want to be real. I want to be real in the pulpit, and I want to be real privately. And the Bible says many times what people do with their lips, they're deceiving, they are pretending, they're saying things, but inside, it's like somebody that hates somebody else, but they'll come and they'll talk so nice to them. Or they'll talk nice to them in front of other people. But man, when they get in their car, that's deceitful, dissembling lips. You know, somebody, if somebody can't stand somebody, guys, this happens all the time. Probably half of us are guilty of this tonight. There's probably somebody you don't like, but when you go to them, you talk so nice to them. See how quiet he gets? Oh, and we act interested when we're not interested. And the world does that 24/7. But, you know, we don't need to do that. We need to be, you say, well, what if I got a problem with somebody? Well, get rid of your problem. Instead of saying, well, what are we supposed to do? Go up to him and say, I don't like you? No, you're supposed to change your heart. Amen. Guys, if you be nice to everybody, but inside you don't like anybody, you still have a problem. The answer is not keeping being nice. The answer is getting right with the Lord. So that you can love people that you don't even like. I said, so you can love people you don't even like. There are all types of people in your life that you don't like. But you need to love them. Amen. And you don't have to be deceitful or a hypocrite. If you get your heart right, you can be honest and kind and gracious instead of it all being fake. I just hate fake. I do. I hate fake. Thank God. I'm gonna give Miss Teresa a raise. I mean, guys, we do everything so fake. These flowers aren't fake. They're real. They may be dead in a week, but they're real. Do you not see the wickedness of being fake with people? And so many times the answer to that, just like I said, the answer to that, somebody just, so they just cut everybody off. Well, that's not the answer. That's not what God wants you to do. God wants you to change the fake. Not so you'll go up and tell people really what you think about them. I tell you what, man. You know, that's the only one good thing about being pastor. Through the years, people have told me really what they thought about me. And I didn't have to guess about it. When you tell the truth, and I tell you what, if you're a witness for the Lord, if you'll be a really good witness for Jesus Christ, you know what? Sooner or later, the people that you're witnessing to will tell you exactly what they think about it. Because you can't just keep telling truth and truth and truth and truth until somebody finally, they're going to give you some truth back. But he that hateth dissembleth with his lips. Man, what a thing. Acts like everything is okay, but has aught in the heart just about for everybody. That's not how God wants us to live. And that'll corrupt you. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. Plans it out. When he speaketh fair, believe him not. For there are seven abominations in his heart, whose hatred is covered by deceit. So he says, when he speaketh fair, believe him not. Well, how do we know if somebody's deceiving us and if they're being a hypocrite talking? How do we know not to believe him? Well, look down at verse 28. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Well, the first thing I would say is it's a really good idea just not to believe everything you hear about good words told to you. Don't believe all the flattery. Don't believe all the things people say. That'll be a protection. Flattery is so dangerous. And we talked about that. We talked about the strange woman that flattered with her lips and all that. We won't go back through that. But how do I approach that? How do I know if somebody, verse 25, has got seven abominations in his heart when he's talking to me? Everybody don't. Hey, don't be a cynic either. Don't think everybody's got seven abominations in their heart when they're talking to you. Because if you're like that, you're twisted and you're not going to have any good relationships with anybody your whole life. You can't be a cynic with that. But there are people that have seven abominations in their heart and speak fair to get an advantage of you. And they're a hypocrite when they talk to you. Well, how do you know the difference? By the way, these seven abominations, only one at a time in the Bible where it talks about seven abominations. That's also in Proverbs, right? Chapter 6. It seems to me like those seven abominations are in this guy's heart. And probably, if you watch real close and you observe people real close, all those seven abominations that's listed in Proverbs chapter 6, if you watch people quote close enough, you could probably spot some of those abominations in somebody if they're coming to talk to you and build a relationship with you. When he speaketh fair, believe him not. For there are seven abominations in his heart whose hatred is covered by deceit. So how do we know when we're being deceived? It goes back. The greatest protection that you have to protect yourself from being deceived by wicked speech, dissembling speech, hate somebody that hates you or trying to get an advantage of you, is by a continual, constant receiving of the truth. I mentioned this, I believe, on Sunday. The reason that they believed a lie and they were deceived, it was because they received not the love of the truth. If we're constantly have an open heart to the truth and we're receiving the truth, it's protection. I think God protects people from being deceived that are constantly open to the truth. And I don't think he protects people from being deceived if they turn off the truth in their lives. Or they said no to it somewhere. We were talking about that with Nehemiah. How did Nehemiah know that guy was a hireling? How did Nehemiah know that guy was deceiving him to come down to the temple like that? How could he spot that? How could he perceive that? Nehemiah's heart was so committed and open to the truth that he had that perception. He had that discernment. Do you know when you hear a message and you don't do anything with it? Maybe when you hear a deception, you won't know anything to do with it. You know, all the time God gives us truth, whether it's truth while we're reading our Bibles, while somebody's preaching a message. He gives us truth somewhere. And every time, listen guys, every time we hear truth, we have an obligation to respond to it. Because the book says, don't be hearers of the word, be doers of it. So if we hear the truth and we don't do anything about it, we put ourselves in danger to be deceived. Because when you don't receive the love of the truth, you set yourself up for a lie. You know, we can protect ourselves against credulity, that is, just believing everything and thinking everybody's real. But we can do it. We can be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. And I think wise as serpents mean that I don't believe that everybody that's talking to me is real. And I don't believe everybody's talking to me has a right motive. And I don't believe everybody's talking to me is being honest necessarily. But at the same time, I want to be harmless as a dove. I don't think somebody comes to talk to me necessarily because they got a bad heart. And I've got to have my heart open enough to God that if that's the case, God will help me spot that. But if I haven't been responding to His Word when He's speaking to me, I'm not going to spot that. He said about this hatred that's covered by deceit, verse 26, His wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. God says this, all that stuff that's covered up is one day going to be openly known. He's going to put all that before the whole congregation one day. Now, it may be in this lifetime. It could be before the church. It could be at judgment day. But the whole congregation is going to see that wickedness of deceit and those idle words. And it's going to be manifested. And I'd say this, if somebody is a deceiver and they're not real, in time it's going to come out. Because here's the thing, you can only be a fake so long before people start seeing that. Amen to that. You can only fake things so long to where everybody sooner or later knows you're fake. And so he says, don't worry about that. Don't get bent out of shape. God's going to take care of that. He's going to bring that out into light. Weren't they a fake with Jesus when he walked on the earth? Oh, how they didn't they use flowery, flattering words? Master, thou speakest the truth. Master, thou, you care for no man. You're just, they said all types of wonderful things to Jesus, but in their heart, they were planning his destruction. Because in their heart, they had hatred in their heart. And they planned all that out, yes, but you know what? All that finally was manifested and came out in the open, and their heart was showed. So ultimately, I'd say this, all of our heart, even the hearts of all people, ultimately, is all going to be open. It's all going to be open. That's why we need to be real. So if God ever wants to open the box, there'll be something real there that we won't be embarrassed of. Amen. Let's be real. Let's be real with God. Let's be real with each other and not have lips that show something contrary to that. 27. Another type of lips. I call these boomerang lips. I don't know why I called it that. I just thought that was a good phrase to use. Boomerang lips. Maybe Patch the Pirate did something on boomerangs. And that's why I thought about that. He said, verse 27, whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. In other words, if you dig, you know, you can dig a pit for somebody else with your words. I like this phrase, and I think my mind immediately went to Jesus. Because it says, he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. You remember when they wanted to stone that woman? They were going to roll that stone on that woman. You know what happened? Got rolled right back to him. He that is without sin. You know what? They rolled it toward Jesus. Jesus rolled it right back to them. And that's what happens with things that we say. Things that we say to others, many times you're going to come right back to us. That's just that law of reaping and sowing. That was that law with Haman. He digged a pit for Mordecai, or as it were, built gallows to destroy him because he hated him. And he hung on the same gallows that he made for Mordecai. So we need to be careful about throwing the stone, because the stone may just come right back at us. Boomerang. He that rolleth the stone, return. Isn't it sometimes amazing how much we expect of others, but if that ever got turned around. So our speech needs to be speech that we understand what comes out from me can return right back to me in the same way. As you would that men do unto you. You know, that guys, you know that's why we need to be merciful sometimes. Because somewhere down the line, you're going to need somebody to roll you some of that your way. That's why we need to roll grace, because we need it rolled back to us. And that's why we need to roll rebuke, because that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. We need the rebuke come to be rolled back to us to help us when we get out of line. So he says, he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. But that guy, it's just everything he's doing, it's toward other people for their destruction and not their help. It's going to roll right back on him. He's going to fall right into that same pit. Somebody's going to dig for him. I'm finished. Verse 28. Here's, we talked about tale-bearing lips and burning lips and dissembling, deceitful lips and flattering lips and boomerang lips. How about 28? A lying tongue. How about lying lips? Hateth those that are afflicted by it. Now, I'm going to finish with this because this is so important. And if somehow you can communicate this to your children. I tried to do this. I used this verse with my children. The Bible says a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it. When you lie to somebody, you hate them. That's what it says. I remember sitting one of my children down one time, and they had told a lie. And I said, you know why you told that lie? Because you hate your daddy. Well, that was a rough conversation. No, I don't hate you, daddy. I said, well, God said you do. By the way, when we lie to people and don't tell the truth, it's hatred. Because love always speaks the truth. That's why we need to give the gospel to people. We need to give the gospel to people and tell them about their sin and tell them about salvation because we love them. We want their soul to be saved. If we told them a lie, if we told them they're all right, don't worry about eternity, that's hatred. Hatred is lying. Love is truth-telling. Now, the next time the lie is looked, wouldn't it be something if a child knew, look, when I lie to mom, I hate her. It makes the lie a little more serious. Now, sometimes we say, oh, preacher, they don't. You know what lies do? They hurt people. They afflict people. You know what? It afflicts a parent to have a lying child. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it. They don't care what the lie does to the person. So we need to understand, we need to tell the truth to people because if we don't, we've got hatred in our heart. Lies are the epitome of hatred. Truth is the epitome of love.